Harris and Davis on 105.7 The Fan.
We've had a few days here to ponder the draft and what the Ravens were able to do. Let's bring in the guy that's a big part of everything they do with the draft and in the war room. Eric DaCosta, the Ravens Director of Player Personnel, joins us in the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Eric, good morning. Thanks for being with us. So was the upshot drafting at 35, was that a high five moment in the war room? Like, wow, we can't believe we got this guy early in the second round? Or did you kind of figure he'd be around there?
Well, I think he was a player that coming out of the fall, our scouts were very, very high on. Our coaches looked at him. They were extremely high on him as a player. We had a clump of about six or seven players that we really thought would be good picks for 29. And one of the scenarios was really if four or five of those guys were still on the board, we would take the chance and trade back, accumulate another pick if the pick was a high fourth round or early, late third round pick, and then hope to get another player and then still get a guy that we coveted. And fortunately, as it turned out, Upshaw was the last guy standing for us on our draft board, and we were lucky to get him when we did.
Eric DaCosta joins us live in the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Eric, what about all these so-called the pundits, the experts who have made an industry of the NFL draft? Number one, other than, like, you know, Luck and RG3, how close are they as far as teams' needs? And do you guys, does it help you guys at all when they put guys on your board that, you know, you're definitely going to pick, like a Hightower or whatever, you know, to kind of, I don't know, influence the other team sometime?
Well, I think, you know, Ed, there's so much misinformation out there, and you have to sort through it, sift through all that stuff. And, you know, everybody, myself included, we have relationships with different people. You know, in the media, sometimes I talk to people on other teams, and then we have friends that actually work for other teams. And you try to, what I try to do is gauge league value of players, where other teams see these players being picked, how other teams really, you know, look at these players. And that helps me get a sense for when we have to take a guy. You know, a lot of times, quite honestly, certain players will be sort of assigned to the Ravens by people, the pundits, et cetera. You know, Peter Combs was a guy that many, many people had us picking. But a lot of times it's not based on anything other than they look at our team and say, well, they need a center. He's the best center available.
Right.
So the Ravens must be taking Peter Combs. A lot of times that's not the case. In most cases, that's not the case.
And obviously you weren't interested because you could have.
Yeah, we could have taken a 29. We could have taken a lot of guys at 29. We didn't think he was as good as some of the players that were still there on the board at 29. We like Peter Kahn's a lot as a player, but again, we're best player available. That's our, you know, that's our makeup. That's how we operate. Mm-hmm. He was not, in our opinion, at that time, the best player available.
Let's talk about Kelechi Osemele. We're talking with Eric DaCosta here from the Ravens. We had Dan Shonka on. I know you know Dan, who was a longtime NFL scout. Now he has our lads. And he took a shot at all these pundits who just everybody is moving him to guard. He lives, he said, 100 miles. So he's seen Osemele a lot in person. He said, that guy's a tackle. That guy can play tackle. That guy's a beast. When you look and have everybody moving Osemele to guard, did you guys draft him to play guard, or do you hope he plays tackle for you one day?
Well, we hope he plays well. I think that's the real answer. I mean, whether he plays guard or tackle, as long as he's a good player and plays and starts, he fills a big need. We have a need at guard and tackle, obviously, so if he can come in and play, however that works out, we're happy. You know, we've seen him play some guard. We saw him play some guard at the Senior Bowl during the week. We saw him play tackle, obviously. We see him as a guy who can play left or right tackle, or possibly left or right guard. We've got some different combinations now in our offensive line we can look at. You know, we've got a lot of guys who can play different positions. Mike Lohr can play a couple different spots. You know, Marshall Yanda's obviously played a bunch of different spots. So now we get Kelechi in there who's shown that he can do some different things for us. That's exciting. That gives us a lot of different combinations, and you need that on game day.
Eric DaCosta joins us. Eric, what about the running back? You bring Brandon Pierce out of Temple. Does he do something different than Ray Rice, or you just need to show up the position a little bit? And what about his pass catch, actually? That was one knock that we had read about.
Well, the thing about Bernard Pierce is we feel that he's a very good fit for what we do offensively in our running game scheme-wise. He's a one-cut, up-the-field guy. You know, I've heard some comparisons to Arian Foster from a style standpoint, and I would say that's probably accurate. I'm not saying he's Arian Foster, but from a style standpoint, he's got some of that. He's a big guy. He's over 215 pounds. He ran a 4.4 at the combine and a 4.3 at his pro day. We think this kid's got a lot of upside, and we think he's going to have to be a good player for us. He's got a really good chance to come in and contribute right away on special teams. We think he's got kick return ability.
Oh.
As far as his passing game goes, he didn't catch a lot of balls at Temple. He wasn't really featured much in the passing game. You know, the thing, ironically, the same was said about Ray Rice coming out. He wasn't really featured in the passing game much at Rutgers. He only had, I think, four or five career receptions, believe it or not. And
well, just because they didn't throw to him?
A little bit of an unknown. Yeah. You know, we worked him out. He caught the ball fairly well in his workout, in his pro day workout with Wilbert Montgomery. We're excited about him. We think he's going to be a good player for us.
And so when you say he wasn't featured, it means he wasn't thrown to a lot, so you don't really know.
Yeah, it's hard to sometimes gauge that, you know, depending on the routes that they run. Or maybe, you know, most guys can catch a check down, but I think the biggest thing you want to see him do is really get downfield and adjust to the ball downfield.
Mm-hmm.
How do they, you know, bad balls, extend their hands outside their frame and things like that. They didn't really use him in that regard. He was mainly a ball carrier for him, you know, first and second down, featured most of the time. He can pass protect. We're excited about that. But as far as the passing game goes, that's kind of a work in progress.
Ravens Director of Player Personnel Eric DaCosta joins us here in the Norris and Davis Show. Did you come out of this, whether it was in the draft or any of your free agent signings, undrafted free agent signings, or guys that you've agreed to contracts with a future punt returner, kick returner guy?
Well, we had some guys that we really liked, and a couple guys get drafted. You know, we were sitting on a couple players in different rounds, and they got picked. Fortunately, I think we have a guy that at least can compete in Asa Jackson. And I'm not saying that Asa is going to be the punt and kick returner, but he's done it in college. He had a high average per return. I think he averaged 18 yards of return as a senior on punt returns. I think 15 as a junior. I think 12 or 13 as a sophomore. So he's done it. He catches the ball very well. He's got some quickness. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. We see some vision. Obviously, level of competes wasn't, you know, great at Cal Poly, but this is a guy that we really liked. We had a chance to see him at the senior bowl. He's a tough, feisty, competitive guy. And what I like about him is he's kind of got a no-nonsense running style. He hits the crease. He's up the field, north-south style. We think he's going to compete with some of the guys we already have.
Just out of curiosity, David Reed, because no one talks about him at all, is he still in the mix to play football for you guys this year and be in the mix to return kicks and be a receiver?
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, in fact, David's probably one of the guys that I've seen more than anybody else this offseason because he's coming off the ACL injury. He's been in the training room. He's been in the weight room quite a bit. I see him a lot, you know, just walking around, working out, doing different things, rehabbing his knee. He looks very good. He looks like he's gained some weight and gotten thicker, which is one thing that we really wanted him to do. You know, I think the offseason is very critical for him. And he's a guy that's played well for us when he's been out there. We're excited about him. We think his future is very bright. He's a football player who's helped us a lot in special teams. And we think he's got potential as a receiver, too.
Eric DaCosta of the Ravens joins us on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Can we talk a little bit about Gronkowski? You pick up a center out of Delaware. Is he the future center? And, again, we went back to the smaller schools. Is this by design or just because that was the best player available?
Well, sometimes I think, you know, when the waters kind of dry up, you have to troll the deep waters. And, you know, this draft was different in that a lot of players that we like got selected, and it seemed like every team was sort of drafting the same players. We were able to find some other players over the course of the spring that we thought were very interesting players. And, you know, Gronkowski was one of those guys. I think our scouts did a very good job evaluating him in the fall and then seeing him at the All-Star game in January. Our coaches went out and worked him out and spent some time with him. Fortunately, we have a history at Delaware, and we have a good relationship with their coaching staff. We're able to get some good information. Gronkowski is a guy that has football in his genes. His brother, obviously, is Bruce Gronkowski, the quarterback. This is a kid who's played a lot of football. We were very impressed with his personality, his intelligence, his ability on tape. He's played guard and center, so there is some versatility there on the interior, which we were looking for. He's a sleeper for us. This is one of those guys that we had pegged at some point in the draft. I wasn't sure exactly where we had to take him. I started getting antsy in the fourth round. We had sort of looked at the fourth, fifth round area, and at the point in the draft when the board sort of dried up, he was too good of a player for us not to take at that spot.
Talking with Eric DaCosta, Christian Thompson, the safety out of South Carolina State. Do you have more confidence taking a guy like that because he started in Auburn or Gronkowski started at West Virginia, so you know they had that pedigree coming out of high school? Does that matter when you go to the small school guys that these guys are transfers?
I think it does, Steve. I think that's a good point. You know, and looking at Joe Flacco and another guy like Ladarius Webb, both those guys came out of small schools, but they started at big schools. And I think that's a different scenario than a true small school guy who actually wasn't highly recruited and started at a small school. So in both cases, with these two guys, Thompson and with Gronkowski, you're talking about guys that were good recruits that went to big schools and transferred for various reasons. Good football players. Christian Thompson's a guy that was at Auburn. He's a downhill run support guy, very physical guy. We think he's got a chance to really come in and contribute on special teams immediately. He was one of our higher-rated special teams players in the draft this year. And we lost something by losing Thomas Bukowski and Hiroki Nakamura. Those two guys were great special teams players for us and brought a lot. as backups to our program, and we think that Christian Thompson could do a lot of the same kind of things.
Eric DaCosta, our guest. Eric, I don't know if you can even quantify this, but we talk so much about the draft, and I was getting frustrated by all these so-called experts, and everybody's saying, you know, we got an A, the Ravens did well, the Ravens did poorly, the Browns did poorly, the Bengals did great. I don't know how you judge this. Do you guys have any kind of formula? Like, when I ran big organizations, they always told me, if one-third of your personnel decisions were on target, you've done a great job. How do you guys, do you have anything like that with the draft? Like, if certain number of your draftees or, you know, pan out in the future, you've done a great job, or is it just, you know, not really an issue?
I mean, no, we have different ways of evaluating that. I think in 2007, when we drafted, Grubbs, and we traded out of the second, we took Marshall Yanda, Yamont Figures, and then LeRon McClain. I think a lot of people, you know, were sort of underwhelmed with that draft. And at the time, and now looking back on that draft, it's been 5 years. You know, Grubbs has been a Pro Bowl guard. Marshall Yanda, obviously a Pro Bowl guard. LeRon McClain was a Pro Bowl fullback. Figures is out of the league. But that's 3 out of 4 guys
that
took at that point that ended up being pretty good. And another guy in that draft was Antoine Barnes, who had 12 sacks, I think, this year for San Diego. So that was a really good draft. At the time, I think it didn't look real sexy to people. But that's kind of the way that we evaluate these drafts. We look at these drafts, you know, 2-3 years down the road. We look at these drafts and how these guys contribute as rookies. What's their playing time? Do they start? Do they get significant time? Are they playing on special teams? You know, all of those factors. We don't get too concerned with, you know, the day after the draft like a lot of people do. We're looking longer term. You know, the value of a player really, in our opinion, really is in his future, not his past. So we try to look at that from that standpoint. How is this guy going to do long term? Obviously, when a guy comes in as a rookie and contributes like a Pernell McPhee, that's easy to track last year. But a lot of these guys, you know, some of our best players, it takes them 2 to 3 years to really contribute. You know, a good example of that would be Jared Johnson, who really, as a rookie, did very, very little. So we try to look long term and make these predictions. We have some other things we look at, but that's how we judge a draft. We don't judge a draft on a Monday after the draft.
Eric, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Okay, take care, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric DaCosta, joining us right here on the Norris and Davis Show.